Welcome.
We got to keep that part.
We try this again. Welcome, welcome, welcome to After the Bell. I am still Corey Graves, or at least what remains of Corey Graves after a hellacious weekend that was WrestleMania. Joining me, as always, my partner from Monday Night Raw, KP, Kevin Patrick. KP, I apologize. As you can see, for those our ATB listeners who are now watching us on YouTube, I am not in my world-class studio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I am somewhere in the middle of nowhere, I believe Flagstaff, Arizona, in a lovely little hotel room, attempting to decompress. But when I make a promise, I keep it. So I am here to offer the last remaining strands of my vocal cords. KP, I'm leaning on you, man. I'm going to need some help this week.
Yeah. You know what? Don't you dare apologize because you deserve the flowers, Grave. You're always throwing them out here to everyone else here on ATB. Thursday night, I'm watching the set reveal and it's yourself and your beautiful wife, Carmella, on top of the ramp. Then I see you on Friday at the Hall of Fame. Saturday, 4 hours almost of WrestleMania. Sunday, 4 hours of WrestleMania. And then again on Monday Night Raw. I don't know how you have a voice. I don't know how you're still standing. You deserve a few days off, buddy. How are you feeling physically after what you've put yourself through?
Physically, I'm kind of on autopilot. My throat, as you can tell, is a little bit scratchy, a little bit off right now. I was able to catch up a few hours of sleep last night, so I feel human again. But man, you know what? I love weekends like we just had. And I had a conversation numerous times with numerous people, particularly on Monday. And I'll put them out there. Seth Rollins came to mind. I had a chat with Seth and I said, man, I needed this weekend. To me, as a fan, as somebody who works tirelessly for this company and does anything I can to help move things forward. And you, KP, you've been here long enough to know, and everybody on, behind the cameras, behind the scenes knows, this place can be a grind. WrestleMania is exhausting physically, mentally, emotionally. The rest of the year kicks our butts. We don't have an off season. So every once in a while, it is of the utmost importance to get that little reminder, just that little reminder as to why we do what we do. WWE is the sports entertainment leader. There is no one in the world who can touch us and what we do. And what I was reminded of over the weekend, and I don't just mean Saturday, Sunday, I mean the days leading up, is that when we, WWE, do what we do to the best of our ability, man, there is no better feeling on the planet Earth. This weekend to me was magical.
Feeling is the key word there, Gravy, right? You say feeling because I'm walking through the streets of LA and I'm hearing Seth Rollins' song everywhere. The emotions throughout of pure frustration or elation. Feeling is what it's all about, right?
Absolutely. And it's easy to forget that you were once upon a time a fan of this business. I dedicated my life to getting to WWE in some way, shape, or form. Obviously, my journey's been well documented. Never expected to be where I'm at, but here I am. And it's so important in any walk of life, no matter what you do, to be reminded of, yeah, you love this. You love this. You may have forgotten once in a while. You may forget. You may get too caught up in the frustrations of the day-to-day or the minutia. But when it's good, my God, there is nothing better in the world than what we experienced this weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr. and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
I think about everything that we went through and the brutality of the matches, the viral moments, the pop culture that we saw throughout, the storytelling, the insane athleticism. And Michael Cole saying that Ricochet, I mean, he stopped in midair during the fatal four-way. That moment in front of you guys in the commentary desk was insane. Do you know what else stood out to me, Graves? And we'll dive. We're going to be a bit all over the place today, folks. So bear with us here. And I know you're experiencing this again with us as you listen to this podcast, was the near falls. Throughout, I mean, there were some moments where yourself and Cole, I could see you guys in the background, and I'm listening to you and Cole just so closely, given what I do now on Mondays next to you. But like Charlotte kicking out of a Riptide, Rhea Ripley kicking out of a Charlotte Spear in the Sami, KO and Usos match, Sami kicking out of a 1D. We never, ever see that. Jay kicking out after a KO stunner. You saw KO kicking out after a double Uso splash. Those feelings and emotions in those moments, man, there was nobody sitting down. At SoFi Stadium or millions of houses around the world, nobody was sitting during those moments, and not even you and Cole.
It's always impressive when you have a loud crowd who's emotionally invested, whether it be in a small arena with 9 or 10,000 members of the WWE universe, but two nights back to back, over 80,000 people live in SoFi Stadium, which is a beautiful, beautiful marvel of human accomplishment. I mean, to walk into SoFi Stadium is just surreal. That place is impressive in and of itself, but the ups and the downs and taking an emotional ride with 80,000 strangers is the most exciting, satisfying, gratifying thing that one can experience in our world. This from the superstars in the ring who are telling the story, so Michael Cole and I who are narrating it, and also up and down. If I had a dime for each time I jumped out of my seat over the weekend, I'd have a WrestleMania bonus check in the mailbox right now. I mean, it was very, very, very memorable from start to finish. And that was the key. It was the journey. It was the ups and the downs. It was a roller coaster ride. It was a 2-day thrill ride from WWE.
And you know what it was too, and I know this is something you want to talk about today, how everybody experiences it differently. Speaking to folks after Saturday, heading into Sunday and heading into Monday again, what are your favorite moments? Everyone had favorite different moments, but there were people that were dejected and there were people that were over the moon with certain matches and how they played out. And isn't that the joy of it all?
It sure is. It sure is, especially when you're twisted and you think like a villain, as I do. I was one of a few people who was absolutely thrilled at the outcome and the closing moments of Sunday night. I understand. I understand why the internet is in a tizzy. I understand why people are dejected. I said on commentary, the sound that you just heard was 80,000 hearts breaking simultaneously. And I'm not laughing at it. I understand it. I'm as big of a Cody Rhodes fan as anybody walking the earth right now. But I was still riding that feeling when I got back to my hotel room on Sunday night. And we're doing things a little differently this week. And far be it from me to usually prepare or write notes for anything that I do. But as I got back to my hotel room on Sunday night, my wife had drifted blissfully off to sleep. And I was still feeling the buzz. I was still caught up in the emotion. And I'm sitting in my hotel room and I pulled out my phone and I opened my notes app and I just started writing because once in a while, you're reminded of the romance in this business. In any walk of life, in any entertainment, you can find romance. And it's not necessarily a cool thing to talk about, the romance aspect of sports entertainment, of WWE in particular. But I was in my feelings Sunday night. So forgive me if this sounds like I'm reading, because I actually am going to read, but I'm going to try to walk through this and try to remember exactly what I was feeling when I was writing all of this stuff. But this is maybe 2 hours removed from Roman Reigns retaining the undisputed WWE Universal Heavyweight Championship. And the headline on my note was, every year, someone's team loses the Super Bowl. So I understand the dejected feeling. I've been on that end. I remember watching my Steelers play the Packers probably a decade ago and realizing how terrible it felt. You waited. The anticipation is so high. You are sure you're going to get the payoff that you wanted. Your moment's finally going to arrive. And then here it comes. No mas. So it's not a unique emotion to WWE or WrestleMania. It's a very human emotion. And what it made me realize as I continued to let myself fall down the rabbit hole of wrestling romance is, in my opinion, WrestleMania was a masterpiece. Start to finish, from the opening match of John Cena versus Austin Theory to the closing moments of Roman Reigns versus Cody Rhodes and everything in between, it was a masterpiece. It's got me thinking romantically, which doesn't happen too often. And it made me think about kind of life as a whole and why any of us watch what we do, why any of us dedicated our lives to entering the sports entertainment business or pro wrestling business, whichever you choose to call, because I'm addressing everything here. This is kind of a going out to everybody who takes time out of their day to tweet, or maybe they just sit on their couch and enjoy. To me, WrestleMania was a microcosm, sort of a metaphor for life as a whole. I know that's going to sound ridiculous. Everyone's going, oh God, Graves thinks he's being romantic and he's going to go off a deep end, but this is my show, so this is what I'm going to do. WrestleMania was a metaphor for life because life is a struggle. That's not unique to anybody. No matter what walk of life you come from, where you find yourself, what your lot personally is in life, you deal with struggle. Physically, emotionally, every day is a series of tiny battles. Whether that be, do I want to get out of bed? Do I want to go to work? Do I want to make this decision? Do I want to make that decision? Battles. Everybody fights them. It's not unique to you, KP, not me, not anybody listening. Everybody deals with it. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. When it comes to WWE and sports entertainment, you connect with different stars for different reasons. And for that reason, watching WWE is a deeply unique personal experience. Dare I say, to a person, for every member of the WWE. Everybody watches it for different reasons. Everybody connects with different superstars for different reasons. It's all deeply personal, and no two people. Now, we know there were 160 plus thousand in the stadium over the weekend. Lord knows, I haven't seen the numbers yet, but I don't think it's unsafe to say probably millions around the globe watched WrestleMania unfold the same way. I watched it right next to Michael Cole. Michael Cole and I did not watch the same WrestleMania. We did. The same matches happened. The same events occurred. But the emotional attachments to the superstars, to the outcomes, to the action in the ring, markedly different. This is a very subjective industry. Objectively, the matches are what they are, but what everybody takes away from it is so different. So now, while a lot of us share the same feelings, and that's one of the great things, is that the community that you feel watching and enjoying these events, particularly in a live environment, everybody's journey as a fan is different. It's all about perspective. And I understand why people are upset that Cody didn't knock off Roman Reigns. I understand why a lot of people feel like they left WrestleMania with a sour taste in their mouth. So to get a little bit bigger, a little deeper here, back to it being a metaphor for life, I want you to ask yourself a question if you're listening to this right now. If you look at WrestleMania in totality, if you look at the weekend, did your guy or girl win in the match that you personally cared most about? Think about that for a second. Ask yourself that. Whoever that was it Cody Rhodes? Was it Roman Reigns? Was it Seth Rollins? Was it Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens? It doesn't matter who your chosen hero is, did that person emerge victorious from the weekend? Next question. How did you feel about the weekend as a whole? To step back, did you leave with a sour taste in your mouth and go, and look, you need to look no further than social media, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. I was getting angry messages from fans. Like I had anything to do with any of the decisions.
But you hate their team. That's the way they feel.
Exactly.
The commentator always hates your team, you know?
Exactly. How did you feel about the show as a whole? Were you generally entertained? Did you feel like it was worth your $9.99 or whatever for Peacock Premium? If you spent an exorbitant amount of money on tickets to be there live, did you enjoy yourself? How did you feel about the last match of the evening? We know that was the heartbreak. We know that nobody really saw that coming. I mean, you and I discussed it. It could have gone either way. But realistically, I think you and I both sort of figured that it was going to be Cody's night. It felt right. It felt like the stars had aligned. But this is Roman Reigns' world. Now, to make it to draw the parallels to real life, everybody has bad days, right? You wake up, you have a good day or a bad day. How do you feel right before you go to sleep? When you wake up in the morning, what is the single most important aspect of your life that you need to accomplish that day? Do you just have to go to work? Do you have something to do with your kids or your families? Is there an event that you're really excited to be part of? whatever that is. It's personal to each and every person. When you go to bed, if you accomplish that thing, more than likely, you're going to go to bed and maybe sleep pretty well, or you're going to be very excited and you know, wound up all night, but it's a good feeling. If you had a great day and right before you go to bed, you stub your toe on the nightstand and it's bleeding all over the floor and you're all of a sudden you're embarrassed because your wife's laughing at you. I'm not telling this story from experience. I'm just kind of making up as I go along. But if you climb into bed at night, you're going to go, man, I had a really great day, but I don't really like how it ended. Does that mean you're not going to try again tomorrow? Does that mean you're going to go, that's it? I'm not waking up. I'm not leaving my house tomorrow. And again, don't take this literally. This is all metaphorically. But you wake up and you give it your best the next day. And you go, all right, you know what? Last night sucked. Tonight, I'm going to avoid the nightstand. I'm going to make sure I don't deal with the same mistake I made at work the day before that ruined my day. WWE, to the point that was made by Triple H, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman at the press conferences in the wake of WrestleMania, WWE is a story that never ends. It only evolves. Let's say Cody Rhodes had been victorious at WrestleMania. Then what? Somebody's got to step up to the plate. And do the fans all of a sudden go, oh, well, we saw Cody. That felt really good. We like Cody. All right, what else do we have? In this day and age, that's the nature of entertainment. People always want the next thing. They always want to know what's next. Nobody's patient. Nobody wants to wait for things to develop. And the line, the takeaway that I got from Roman's thought in the press conference was, this isn't McDonald's. We're making filet mignon. And WrestleMania is it. That was the main course and the main event, filet mignon. Who knows what's coming up next? Now, it looks like Brock Lesnar is gunning for Cody Rhodes, right? Nobody saw that coming. It's a pivot, but it's the next evolution in the story. So while I am not going to get on, I'm not here on ATB. I didn't get online to argue or defend, because I get it. I understand it. And it's okay as wrestling fans, as WWE fans, as people who are emotionally invested in the American Nightmare and his journey, or whomever your chosen hero is in that moment, it's okay to feel the way you are. Be in it and then get ready for what's next, because it will continue to evolve. So it's all right. What spawned a lot of these thoughts was, of course, I got back to the hotel and I'm kind of scrolling through. I'm reading the WrestleMania hashtag because it's number one trend worldwide for 3 days or something crazy like that. And people were upset. And it's okay. But what that says to me is that people are upset. And guess what? That's a good thing. That's okay. Because if you always get what you want, you don't want anything else. You get used to it. You get spoiled. And then it's over-delivery. And this is not new or unique to this current regime of WWE. It's not unique to the last 5 years or the last decade or any qualifier you want to put on it. This is this business. Look back to a person who was dropped multiple times during the lead up to Roman and Cody, that being the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. Dusty became the common man, the everyman, because Dusty constantly came up short, usually due to no fault of his own. But people connected with that. People understand that. People live vicariously through WWE superstars. And there were a million people around the world in Cody's boots with him. And this was their shot. This was their moment, not just Cody's moment, their moment as fans who were driving Cody forward. The fans who were wearing the t-shirts, who were invested in Cody's journey, they were in the ring with him emotionally. This is what I'm saying. It was a masterpiece. It was beautiful. But much like in WWE, as in reality, things don't always work out the way you want them to. It's not always the romantic ending that everybody had hoped for. But what you can hope for is the next chapter, more romance, new wrinkles to the story, new characters, more moments. There will be satisfaction one of these days. I don't know what it's going to look like. You'll get there, and then you'll get it, and then you're going to go, all right, now what can we do? Enjoy the ride, man. Just enjoy the ride. And thank you, KP, for indulging me. I don't think I have many more notes than that. That was kind of the...
Please.
And I don't mean this... I don't want this to sound preachy.
It's not.
Because as we mentioned last week, we talked last week about how WrestleMania should be and is a celebration of this industry for fans around the world. Whether you came to LA and came to WrestleMania or you just attended one of the dozens of indie shows in the area, ultimately, WWE steers the ship, right? Whatever you take away from it, that's fine. You're not wrong. If you made a YouTube video cussing and swearing and talking about how you're done, you don't like WWE anymore, good. Good, because you feel that emotion. And the thing is, you feel that emotion deeply enough to jump online and complain and unleash your own vitriol and yell. And that's okay. I'm not poking fun at you. I'm not making fun of you. I'm not saying that you're less than. I'm saying thank you, because you are so emotionally invested, whether it be in the behind the scenes nonsense that's its own sort of entity and animal, or what happens in the ring on your screen. Thank you. Because without people who get visibly, passionately angry when things don't work out the way they're supposed to, who knows where we'd be? That's a good thing. We want those fans. We're thankful. We are grateful for those fans. So it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be upset. We're glad you're upset. Just wait, because it's going to get better. And scene.
That was beautiful. End of the podcast right there.
Hey, that's all I got. That was my last bit of brain power, man.
Gravy, my wife tells my four-year-old all the time, feel your feelings. It's okay. Feel your feelings. Let it out. Like, let me know. What has you upset? Where are you? And that's, it's a good thing. And this is why you talking about WrestleMania as a microcosm for life is a beautiful thing. And it often, you know, throughout...
That didn't sound too pretentious.
Your monologue there. It didn't because it resonates. And you've often said to me, just get lost in the moment. And I find myself now more and more getting lost in these moments on Monday nights. How, I wonder, is the best way to consume WWE, sports entertainment, WrestleMania? Is it to put away the phone, do you think? Is it to simply lock yourself in that room and enjoy it? Because more often than not, whether we're watching Yellowstone, you're watching Succession, Ted Lasso, whatever we're watching these days, we tend to have this horrible habit of picking up our phone and looking at what Twitter is saying. And there's a part of me thinks, just throw away the phone, lock yourself in a room and be immersed in what you're hearing and feel those feelings throughout a show like WrestleMania, because that was an absolute roller coaster. And that's a cliche we use far too often in life, but it was filled with ups and downs. And if you're a Cody Rhodes fan after Sunday night, you're in a ditch of devastation. And guess what? After Monday night, you were thrown right back in there again, and you probably don't see a future, but enjoy the ride, enjoy the process. And you perfectly pointed it out weeks ago, and you have a tendency, as we say on this podcast, to predict the future. And with Austin Theory, you said, just wait, let the story be told. And Theory's had quite the comeback since then, beating the GOAT on Saturday at WrestleMania. But enjoy that process, feel your feelings, and man, have we got a lot of feelings after this weekend.
We do, and to your point, I don't necessarily say there is a right way to consume WWE. However you enjoy consuming it, you're right. If you choose to do it while simultaneously rage tweeting, that's okay. There's a community for that, right? Look, I'm saying this like I'm usually the talking head that pisses everybody off, right? I'm the guy that is viewed as the company mouthpiece that says whatever outrageous things that people want to rage against it. That's fine. There is no right way or wrong way to consume it. If you enjoy it or you get some sort of satisfaction out of it, it's fine. If that be from chilling on the negative side of things, great. Some of it's downright hilarious. I read those hashtags after Raw and I read them after, you know, premium live events, because I like to keep a finger on the pulse of what people like, what they don't like, what they're enjoying, what they can't stand. My own purposes. I like to know what maybe we should talk about here on After the Bell. So as I scroll through that, a lot of it's hilarious. I see some great memes and people making jokes and insult. It's funny. You're not wrong. It's okay. It doesn't affect things. You know what I mean? It's however you choose to consume it is totally okay with you. Just enjoy or try to enjoy it. Or maybe you watch it to hate it. That's fine. You're watching. You feel some kind of way. That's our job. Our job is not to make you feel the right emotions. It's to feel. We like to put smiles on people's faces. And hopefully after you sent the meanest tweet of your life, or you just recorded a 30-second video that talk about how you can't stand Roman and he's everything wrong with the world, maybe you were able to go, oh, I feel better now. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe you weren't smiling after Cody lost, but maybe you're grinning after you just took down the WWE on YouTube. That's okay. That's fine. And this may be the only time that I don't fight back, because I'm still riding the wave of euphoria from WrestleMania. But Yeah, here we are, man.
Dude, it's your passion is screaming through right now. On YouTube, screaming through. Audio platform, screaming through. And after the week that you've had from Thursday through Monday, fair play to you, man, because you've lived and you've been breathing this industry your entire life. At the summit of WWE now as a commentator, a legend in this game, whether people like it or not, you absolutely are one of the greatest of all time in what you do. And what you've just said is not preachy whatsoever. You're telling people to feel their feelings and enjoy it however they enjoy it. And I think that's wonderful advice. Like you say, if you're screaming at the screen, that's fine. Do whatever you want to do. Come at us. I've had I've had a hell of a lot of people come after me on social media since I took over, and rightly so. Come after me. If you're not feeling me right now, that's all good. That's okay. I'm here for that. It's one hell of a ride, man. It really is. And I'm just looking forward to seeing where this story goes now. And on the Cody Rhodes side of things, that Monday was stunning. Monday was genuinely shocking. I had zero clue how this was going to play out on Monday when I see a tag team match form and Lesnar comes out, Gravy, and I'm thinking, Brock doesn't do friends. Brock is going to stand alongside Cody, and then I didn't have the words toward the end. I was genuinely speechless. And you were asking the question, why? And that question still exists.
And you know what? And we'll hopefully get our answers in the weeks that follow as we see the developments between Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. But I'm still basking in WrestleMania's afterglow, KP. So let's take it back. If you want to talk about the Beast, let's talk about this. Time for me to piss everyone off. It's okay for you to send me a tweet to say, Corey Graves, you were right. You were right, because Brock Lesnar versus Omos on Sunday was everything I envisioned it to be. And it was. And next time you want to say that old Gravy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about, log into Peacock, start WrestleMania Sunday, Brock Lesnar versus Omos. And in the moment when Brock Lesnar hoisted the 7'3" Nigerian giant over his shoulders and delivered an F5, I don't want you to look at the giants in the ring. I want you to look at everything happening on the other side of the barricade, because 70-something thousand people were on their feet, as CG predicted, because it was freaking awesome. It was cool to see two Goliath behemoth super heavyweights. The fact that Omos threw Lesnar halfway across the ring like a child had everyone in that stadium gasp. No one has ever done that to Brock Lesnar before. That was unbelievable, and it really set the tone for the day. And we're going to jump back and forth. I don't even know how long we've been doing this. So whenever you guys are ready for me to stop talking, just someone give me a note, give me a buzz, because I'm on one right now.
The hardest hitting match of the weekend may have been the triple threat between Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew, but it also...
There's no may about it.
No, it may have been eclipsed by Rhea Bloody Ripley and Charlotte Flair, because that was... used the word hellacious a lot. That was unbelievable. I mean, that was next level. How did you experience that as a commentator?
So I didn't experience that as a commentator. I experienced that as a fan. I was the biggest fan in SoFi Stadium during Rhea and Charlotte. And listen, we can get a little bit in the weeds here and on After the Bell. And Charlotte Flair was very open about wanting the last spot, the main event spot on WrestleMania Saturday. It obviously went to the tag team title match. No complaint for me, no argument. Both were completely deserving. But what it felt like to me, knowing Charlotte and Rhea fairly well, Charlotte better than Rhea, I've been friends with Charlotte for many years, was those two women walked the aisle, got in the ring, and very, very loudly and angrily declared, follow this. Because they went out there with a vengeance on a mission and delivered one of, prepare yourself, you can't take this out of context. You can, and it'll still mean exactly what I wanted to say. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley for the SmackDown Women's Championship on Saturday was one of the greatest WrestleMania matches ever. Period. I'm not qualifying it with title matches, women's matches, matches that happened after 4 p.m. Eastern, and no qualifier. That match was magic. I had all the respect in the world for both to begin with, and somehow they took it all to a next level. And this one, this is a hill I'll die on. I will fight to the death and argue if somebody tells me I'm wrong on that one.
So So given that you know Charlotte Flair so well, after losing her SmackDown Women's Championship, what are you reading into that smile that we saw from Charlotte afterwards?
I think, and I didn't really get a chance to speak with Charlotte. We actually had a moment at ringside as she was seated, leaning against the ring apron. She glanced up and I gave her one of these. I said, thank you. I said, thank you. And she kind of acknowledged me. And obviously she had more pressing things happening in the moment, but I needed her to know that. I ran into her and then Rhea separately backstage after the show. And I told Rhea the same thing. That was one of the best damn matches I've ever had the pleasure of calling, bar none. Charlotte Flair, to me in that moment, I wouldn't be shocked if that little smirk was, follow that. There's a story that floats around infamously from WrestleMania. I think it was 23. I can't remember. It was in Detroit. I was there as a fan. 22 or 23. I always get my years mixed up. Batista and The Undertaker went on in the middle of the show. It was a World Heavyweight Championship match. And they both went, all right, we're about to become undeniable, to borrow a phrase from Cody. We're going to go show everybody we should be on last. And they went out, and to this day, one of my favorite WrestleMania matches. It still holds up. It still rings true. I have a feeling people are going to be talking about Rhea and Charlotte for a long time to come. I texted my younger brother in Mexico, who obviously is a wrestler himself, to tell him, make sure you go out of your way to see this match. It was that incredible.
What was it that made it so incredible for you? Was it the story that was being told throughout the match? Was it simply was it the moves, Gravy? What stood out the most?
All of the above. It wasn't the lead up. It wasn't the development of the story between the two. This to me was simple. It was two alpha females, the Queen and Rhea Ripley, who has been steadily inching toward the top of the mountain. This was champion versus challenger. This was beautiful in its simplicity. Two ridiculous athletes, two superstars in every sense of the word. It was a perfect storm. And then you put the stakes on it, like the SmackDown Women's Championship. You've got Charlotte Flair for all that she's done and accomplished in her career. Charlotte Flair does the Lord's work at WrestleMania, man. I mean, that's where Charlotte Flair should exist. And here comes Rhea, this upstart. She's going to change things. She is the change that a lot of people want to see. And she did it. It was beautiful. I've used the word beautiful to describe WrestleMania more in the last several days than I have in probably the last 10 years. Because to me, back to the romance, it was beautiful.
No, well said. And it was a star-making moment, correct, for Rhea Ripley, even though she was already a star.
Yes, it solidified.
Yeah, a year ago, when I'm watching Rhea Ripley, I was watching the Raw after WrestleMania recently from a year ago, and I didn't get that same feeling and sensation from Rhea Ripley at all. So how Rhea Ripley has evolved and grown in 12 months has been quite simply spectacular. The same could be said for Austin Theory over the past year. And given his renaissance in many ways, given the recent losing the Money in the Bank, the way he did and the criticism that followed, to go out there against John Cena and do that. And you guys said it in commentary perfectly, how he ripped the torch away from John Cena in those moments, whether it's biting the ear, biting the hand, the low blow, doing whatever he needed to do to get that hate and get over the line in the end. What did Saturday, opening up WrestleMania and that victory over Cena, what has it done for Theory?
Here's a funny thing to look at. I'm going to play devil's advocate on this. For Theory individually, it was the biggest accomplishment of his career. He beat John Cena at WrestleMania, period. Story ends there. Put a period at the end of that sentence. We're good. He can hang his hat on that for a long, long time because not too many people can add that to their resume. It's striking to me that that was how the weekend opened. And then so much happened after that, that I don't want to say it was lost in the shuffle, but it's sort of an indictment as to how healthy and red hot business is that something that monumental can open the show. And then you fill the sandwich with the finest of meats and spices and all these different things that you could put in between. And then you bookend the other side with Cody and Roman. And it's like, wow, to me, it's exciting because everything's trending in the right direction. The business is healthy. Austin Theory made a name for himself. It will never be forgotten. It will be replayed for years to come. And Theory, I think, made a really strong case for himself that he truly is who he says he is. He is the now, the future, whatever you're referring to it as, Theory's that dude, right?
Inevitable.
Yes.
It was inevitable.
It absolutely is.
Hey, Gravy, you say the business is healthy. Obviously, huge news with the partnership now with Endeavor and Endeavor owning the UFC as well. A company combined valued over, what, $21 billion. It's such exciting times for WWE. We talk about the business too and WrestleMania and how WrestleMania has evolved. I had a chance to speak with so many people who've been around WWE for so long, and their minds have been boggled by the evolution of WrestleMania. From a commentator standpoint, sitting there and viewing it from the best seat in the house, to see the entrances that we saw from, you know, John Cena with Make-A-Wish, Bianca Belair, and her entrance was spectacular. And then the Mysterio. I know you love Dom's entrance as much as Ray's alongside Snoop Dogg in the Lowrider. The entertainment factor, the fact that Al Michaels is sitting front row taking it all in, one of Michael Cole's great idols. The entertainment factor beyond simply wrestling. WrestleMania was just out of this world this weekend.
It absolutely was. And that's why it is the greatest live event in entertainment, because you saw some seriously heavy hitters floating around the stadium. You mentioned Al Michaels. I know Rick Rubin, legendary music producer, arguably the greatest of all time, just hanging out behind us, enjoying the developments. I mean, there were celebrities left and right, because it is back to the personal experience. Why do you watch it? Why do you watch WWE? Is it to shut your brain off for a couple hours and just enjoy it? Watch something that's not too overly complicated. It's just kind of fun. You get to see some athletics, get to see some spectacle. Cool. If that's why you like it, great. We talk about WrestleMania and how unique it is in that it's not all just passionate wrestling fans. It's people from all walks of life. So they're the ones that leave going, man, that was so much fun. The energy, and I had great drinks at the stadium, and I did this, and you just take it at face value for what it is. Then you've got people who likely spent their life savings for the opportunity to be front row at WrestleMania, and they hang on every moment. I hope their takeaway was positive. I'd be willing to bet it was. And again, if you step back objectively, take your feelings out of it for a second and go, did I have fun? Was I disappointed in the outcome? Perhaps, but the spectacle that is, I mean, from the time we touched down in Los Angeles to the all of the interactions the superstars had and the appearances for charities and various causes, it's a very busy week across the board, but no one takes over a city like WWE does when WrestleMania is in town. And I defy anybody to say that they walked away without feeling at least that they were part of something special. You may not have seen each and every detail that you wanted. It may not have played out exactly to your liking, but you had to have fun, man. You had to. It's a spectacle. It's unbelievable.
Dude, this was a WrestleMania that was sold out before a single match was announced. And we're talking over 200,000 WWE fans from SmackDown, WrestleMania, Stand and Deliver, Monday Night Raw. Over 200,000. Hey, Philadelphia, we're coming for you next year. And I guarantee if tickets went on sale tomorrow, Gravy, that thing would sell out already. And I'm talking about even The Undertaker show at the Novo. You know, like, there's all these spectacular events now surrounding it that... WrestleMania, when I talk about the evolution of this, I think this is only year three or year four that it's been a two-day WrestleMania. It's quickly going to become much more than that. And that's the way it feels right now, is that WrestleMania has taken on a new life of its own. Well, and I haven't even mentioned Bad Bunny. How have I not mentioned the most popular artist on the planet today in Bad Bunny and what he managed to get involved in both on WrestleMania and Monday Night Raw as well? It's really cool to see. I don't think... there's a limit to where WWE can go with this, whether it's WrestleMania one day overseas, Gravy. And we see now the next three premium live events from Puerto Rico to Saudi Arabia to London. WWE is expanding. It's spreading its wings. It's going global more and more. And it's just such a fun and exciting time. And I think you'll agree with me that even behind the scenes, there's an energy about the place. There's an enthusiasm about everybody. And I just feel so fortunate to be involved right now.
Well, ditto for me. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And when it spreads its wings, it's going to evolve into a big badass pterodactyl that takes over the world.
You love pterodactyls, don't you?
I do love pterodactyls. I love dinosaurs. I'm a big dinosaur guy. Yeah, man, looking back, I've just kind of been riding the wave for the last 2 days. Again, lack of sleep be damned. It's hard not to feel positive in the wake of such an amazing event. And again, back to the recurring theme here. Sure, some things don't play out the way you expected them to or you wanted them to. Such was the case on Monday night. Again, a lot of the hangover, the leftover vitriol from Sunday sort of bled over into Monday. And that's okay. A hero cannot take a hero's journey until the hero has first been denied. No?
100%.
I mean, that's literary. That's not unique to WWE. You Google hero's journey. If you just burst in the door and you're the greatest thing since sliced bread, cool, people are into it. But that's not the way this works. A hero's journey starts with failure.
As a fan, right? As a fan over the weekend, I'm thinking Cody Rhodes, WWE goes away, essentially running another promotion, comes back. It has the injury that he has. This was a story that was going to last a year. Cody Rhodes was out for how long? 8 months? And he's just going to wipe the floor of everybody. And I get it. He's that talented. He's that lovable and charismatic. But Roman Reigns, that is the but there. Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns said something in the press conference afterwards. He talked about his family. It's never simply about simply him. And he said, if you're going to come and take it from me and my family, well, then come and take it. But he said, until someone does that, I'm going to have a chokehold over this business, is how he put it. And it felt very much like that. I'm intrigued to see where it goes with Jimmy and Jay, because remember, they were sent away onto the jet by Roman on Monday. Solo Sikoa was by his side. He hit the dagger, the Samoan spike, which really did end things for Cody Rhodes. But you've got it. You say it all the time. There is deep as they are deadly, or as deadly as they are deep, right? And that's the feeling right now. And in the moment, I watched it with Wade. In the moment when Solo Sikoa hit that Samoan spike, Wade thought it was someone else. Because Solo had been sent away. So Wade is like, there's another one. There's another one. And because Solo's hood was up, he's snuck back in. And we're wondering, who is it? And then we see Solo. But we were ready to see a new emerging talent from the Bloodline.
Stranger things have happened. And I'd be willing to bet that we will see an addition at some point in the not too distant future.
I want to talk about the tag team match that we saw that main evented Saturday night. Sami Zayn said something fascinating. He said in the press conference after victory, not many guys get two WrestleManias in 6 weeks. And that's exactly what I had. Sami Zayn was, to many people, the MVP at WrestleMania the year before against Johnny Knoxville. We all know about the year that Sami's had. And to go out there and win and become a champion, a tag team champion for the first time in their respective careers was special to see. And that is the emotion of Saturday night versus Sunday night was so stark, right? And I guess you heard that and you felt that in the arena. The celebrations, the ole oles after Sami and KO end the Usos' record reign versus Sunday night. And that finale was just so stark. And it goes back to your overall point of feeling it and enjoying the moment. But man, what a difference. And congratulations to KO and Sami. And let's see where they can go with this, Gravy, because they could be formidable. And as you said on Monday, they've known each other their entire lives. So chemistry won't be an issue there.
Sami and KO will be appearing on Friday Night SmackDown tonight. If you are listening to ATB as it's released, as you should be. And KP, as you were saying that, it reminded me of something that we've been chatting about for the last 40 minutes or so. About a month or so ago, Elimination Chamber, Sami Zayn faced Roman Reigns and came up short. And everyone's heart was broken. Yet, a month or so down the road, WrestleMania Saturday, Sami and Kevin have a moment for the ages that nobody was upset about. It's almost as though you had to let the story evolve and develop. Imagine that, KP. Imagine that.
A full circle moment.
Oh my God, man. I could do this for another 2 hours. I'm literally running on empty right now.
I love it.
My wife just came into the hotel room and she's giving me a death stare from across the room because she would like to get ready for her day. We're gonna go see the Grand Canyon. Have you been to the Grand Canyon, KP?
No, I'm dying to go. You'll probably see Omos standing up inside it.
I'm gonna try to find Joe Dirt's parents.
Go enjoy it, pal. It's been great catching up after a wild week. And we say that often again, but genuinely, man, I don't know how you did it. Go and enjoy the time with your wife. It's been great catching up with you. And we're going to see you in Seattle for Monday
Night
Raw.
Yes, we will be in the Pacific Northwest, the city made famous by Ken Griffey Jr. Anyone who tells me otherwise, I will strongly disagree with. Make sure you're following us at After the Bell WWE on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find me at WWE Graves. You can find KP at Kev_Egan. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts. Just search After the Bell and hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. full episodes of After the Bell, including this here episode, will be available on the official WWE YouTube channel every Monday. We'll be back next week. Wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt my own close one more time to say to everybody listening, everybody who experienced and enjoyed and lived through WrestleMania weekend with us, thank you from the bottom of our hearts. Thank you for making this all possible. And now back to our regularly scheduled close. We'll be back next week with more wisdom, more vitriol, and more WWE after the bell.